Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
If you know Jesus, then you know that He's living in your heart because of His prompting. Because you can't cheat like you used to cheat, because you can't live like you used to live, because there's somebody living inside of you. Your body is His temple, and He's guiding you, and He's leading you, and life is different when Jesus lives inside.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Blessing of the New Life.
When Jesus spoke of salvation, He often used pictures and metaphors to illustrate truth. And one of the pictures that He uses concerning salvation is the new birth. Now, Nicodemus did not understand that in John chapter 3. He said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old? Does he enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time?" And how many moms would say, "No, forget it. That is not going to happen," right? Nicodemus was all mixed up about this second birth stuff. And so Jesus said to him in John 3:6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." So He said, Nicodemus, there is a physical birth, that which is born of the flesh, the breaking of the water. And there is a spiritual birth, that which is born of the Spirit. When a person receives Christ as their Savior, they are born spiritually. So the term birth reminds us that there is an origin, there is a beginning to our relationship with Jesus Christ. You are not someone that just by osmosis became a Christian, or your parents were Christians, or you live in America and it says God on the money, so you're a Christian because you live in America. If you are a Christian, there was a point in your life when you chose to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you can't remember that time, then we're going to give you that opportunity before we're finished in a few moments, because God wants everybody to have a birthday spiritually. You may not look back and remember the date. I do. I was saved on April the 5th, 1972, at 4289 Yerba Buena Way in San Jose, California. I was a 10-year-old boy, and I prayed, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. You may not remember the date, but you should have in your mind the time when you realized that you were a sinner, and you called out to Jesus Christ, and He saved you on that day. That was the beginning. That was your spiritual birthday. Romans 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be, what's the next word say? Saved, right? So there's a beginning point. There's a time when we get saved. And I've got to tell you, friend, it's the greatest day of your life, right? The second greatest day of my life was when Terry said yes and we were married, and that was awesome. And I've had other great days when the kids were born, grandkids were born, lots of great days. Next Sunday's going to be awesome. I can't wait. But nothing compares to the day that you get saved. Nothing compares to that. And when someone is saved, at the moment of their salvation, they are indwelt. New life today. When someone gets saved, they are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. I can't explain all about it. But in verse 9, the Bible says here, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So when you receive Christ as Savior, you receive His Spirit. You are born again by the Spirit. We call it being regenerated. From the inside out, we are changed. And if you are saved, you understand exactly what I'm talking about, because suddenly when you're saved and the Spirit is in you, you're wanting to do things you did not want to do before. For example, go to church, right? I happen to believe most of you are here today, not because your wife made you come or not because, you know, you're on work release from jail or something. I think most of you are here today because someone who lives inside of you said, let's go. You see, when you get saved, the Lord living in you, the resurrected Christ living in you, begins to make a difference. And all of a sudden, you're curious about the Bible, and you want to know more about Jesus. And what do the words to that song mean? And suddenly, there's new life. There's new life today and tomorrow. And there's new life every day when Jesus lives inside of you, the Spirit of God, and stuff that didn't bother you at all. Like before on Sundays, I mean, you get up and you'd eat a bag of chips and some Twinkies and some Ho-Hos and watch 5 football games and never think about going to church. But now it's different, right? The Spirit of God dwells in your heart and you want to learn some things about Jesus. And maybe before you'd yell at your wife and kick the cat, think nothing of it. Now the Lord inside of you says, hey, big boy, you apologize to your wife, and you pet the cat. You go, Lord, I got to draw some lines somewhere, but I'm saying the Lord begins to convict us. The Lord begins to change us because he lives inside of us now. And it's interesting to me, when you study Romans chapter 1 through 7, you only find the Holy Spirit mentioned one time. But now that we have been introduced to Jesus as our Savior in the first 7 chapters, now that we know there's no condemnation when we're in Jesus, Romans chapter 8 is going to mention the Holy Spirit 19 times. And sometimes people say, hey, you Baptists, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, we Baptists do believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that he's in us, he indwells us, he guides us, he comforts us, he teaches us. And we must learn how to be alive to Jesus Christ through his Spirit. So this morning, I want to take these next few minutes and tell you 3 great blessings in the new life. 3 great blessings. When I was a kid, there was a Christmas present under the Christmas tree, and I think I was about 7 or 8. It was a big present. And I got to tell you, I could not wait to open that present. It was long and kind of wide, and I tried and tried to guess. When Mom wasn't looking, I shook it to try to figure out what was in there. And that Christmas morning, when I opened up that present, it was not just one present, it was 3. It was a baseball glove, a baseball, and a baseball bat. How many of you are like me? You like it when 1 becomes 3, right? All the ladies this morning, that's right. I like to get diamond rings, diamond necklaces, and diamond earrings all in one box. That's how I like it. Well, the great thing about getting saved is that maybe you trusted Christ as Savior because you wanted to go to heaven, you didn't want to go to hell, and those are really good reasons, but the longer you're saved, the more you begin to find out, wow, look at all the things God did for me when I got saved. And today I want to show you 3 of them. Is everybody ready? All right, here we go. Let's notice the first one. The first great thing that happens when you get saved is the presence of Christ indwells your life. Jesus Christ indwells your life. Sometimes we say to children this phrase, have you ever accepted Jesus into your, what's the next word? Heart. Heart is the word for our innermost being. It's the totality of our being. Have you ever invited Jesus into your life? Getting saved means that you have the presence of Jesus with you. You have a new resident in you. Notice in verse 10, if Christ be in you, that's based upon the verse before, speaking about the Spirit of God dwelling in us. It means that when someone receives Christ, that he is a new resident in your life. And it is by his Spirit, for if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Now, Jesus promised that he would come and be in us. In fact, his disciples, they spent much time walking with him. What it must have been like to be a disciple of Jesus and to just be with him and to love him and to believe that he's the Messiah. And then the word we might use is the word bond. And to bond in the friendship and the communion and the love of Jesus Christ. But suddenly something happened. Jesus began to tell his disciples this. He said, I'm going to leave you. The time of my departure is at hand. And this troubled their hearts very much They didn't want him to leave. In fact, some of them thought he was going to bring in a kingdom and they were going to be big shots in the kingdom. This was the end of their dreams. But Jesus said to them, even though I'm going to die and even though I will rise again, just like Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and I'm going to come out, destroy this temple and I'll tear it up again. Even though he was leaving them physically, he said, but I'm not going to leave you because I'm going to send my spirit and he will never leave you. And through my spirit, Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Notice, if you would, in your notes in John 14, 16, it says, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now, I don't want to break this down so terribly much that we get bogged down, but in the Old Testament era, the Spirit of God came upon people, and the Spirit of God spoke through the prophets. But Jesus is prophesying a different era. We call it a new dispensation, the dispensation of grace, dispensation of the church. And Jesus says, listen, not only is the Holy Spirit going to come and be with you and be around you, he's going to be in you, John 14 says. The Spirit of God will dwell in you. And what a tremendous promise that is. In Ephesians 1 and 13, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. By the way, nobody gets saved until they hear the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. But the Ephesians, it says, they trusted Jesus after they heard the gospel of their salvation. Notice this. In whom also, after that ye received, you received the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, once they accepted Christ as Savior, then the Spirit of God immediately came into their life and sealed them. They were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And so this was something that Jesus said was a promise, that his presence would be with them. The scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 6, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God says, I want you to know that I'm dwelling in you. Your body is my temple. And so one of the great blessings that we see when we receive Christ as Savior is that he takes up residence in our life. Now, if you're saved this morning, that resonates with you. Your spirit bears witness with his spirit. If you're not saved this morning, you're like, dude, when's this get over? I want to go to In-N-Out Burger. Or, oh, mom's glad I came here with her, you know, but this religious talk. But I'm saying, if you know Jesus, then you know that he's living in your heart. Because the Bible tells you, yes, but because of his prompting, because of his presence, because when we sing about Jesus and what he did, it means something to you. Because you can't cheat like you used to cheat. Because you can't live like you used to live. Because there's somebody living inside of you. Your body is his temple, and he's guiding you, and he's leading you. And life is different when Jesus lives inside. Okay? There's a new resident living inside. Look, it just logically, sometimes we counsel young people before they get married. And we tell them, look, I'll tell the young men, dude, get ready. You're going to want to go to In-N-Out. She's going to want to go to Del Taco. Deal with it. You can't bring someone else into your life and everything stays the same. Someone comes into your life, things are going to be different. She's going to squeeze the toothpaste this way. You're going to squeeze it another way. She's going to want to watch the cooking channel. You're going to want to watch sports. When someone comes into your life, things change. I was talking with a young mother this week. She said, well, we have one baby. We're getting ready to have another one. I said, life's going to change.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.